Haley, Brownlow Winslow back for round three of Brownlow's Blues, buzzing about the club's big breakthrough. And as you are well aware by now, Carleton has secured a women's football team, a defining moment in the club's more than 150-year existence. The AFL made the big announcement at the MCG Wednesday. Carleton will be joining Collingwood, Melbourne, the Western Bulldogs, Adelaide, Brisbane, the GWS Giants, and Fremantle in the National Women's League for the 2017 inaugural season. Carleton CEO Stephen Trigg and Visi female ambassador Lauren Arnell were at the historic announcement, and they're both now joining me live to give a more in-depth look at what this means for our club. Thank you guys both for being here.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Stephen, as you said Wednesday, we are on a strong path of being leaders of equality. This will undoubtedly make our historic club more balanced and more complete. Could you elaborate on that and what this means exactly for the Carleton Blues?
Well, I find myself saying the same sort of things in that it will make us a more balanced and complete club. But really, I suppose it all boils down to the fact that we want to be a more inclusive club and we want to be leaders in equality. And that's the decision yesterday by the AFL to afford us an inaugural women's licence is a big, big step forward in that. It's just one of the things that we're doing for women as girls and women as supporters, as staff, and as players. But it was a really big step forward. And you saw yesterday the excitement, the joy in this place. You know, I had players texting me and I saw them tweeting and the like that They're very excited as well, so it's a great day for us. We're really pleased. I think in simple terms, you'd call it progress. You know, 151, 52-year-old Carlton, and it's progress. So it was a really big day.
You can feel it in the vibe, too, around the club here.
You can.
It's a very happy place to be. Lauren, you were brought into Carlton just in February and basically put in charge of trying to make this happen. Pretty big role for you. The amount of work that you have had to do has got to be monumentous. Take me through the process of what kind of hurdles you had to leap through to make this dream for Carleton a reality?
Well, I think firstly it's important to note that it was a whole of club approach, and certainly I wouldn't like to take all of the credit for it. I'm just part of the team. So someone like Simon Kelleher, our Chief Financial Officer, has just been incredible throughout the whole process. Stephen and Andrew McKay and Sean Wilkie, they've just been incredible. So I wouldn't take that credit, but I've just felt honoured to be a part of it at a club like Carlton to work in the team environment, and hopefully I've been able to be quite strategic about things and pull our submission in a direction of, I guess, from a coaching perspective, but mainly as a playing perspective as well, and ensuring that the environment that we've created here for what's going to be a squad of female athletes playing AFL footy in the Carlton colours is going to be the best environment in the country. So I'm really excited about that.
Are you going to be one of those players?
I was going to say, I'll tell you how excited she was, because I rang Lauren yesterday morning to tell her that I'd just taken a call from the AFL and, pregnant pause, we're in. And she wouldn't answer me for a while. I said, Lauren, are you there? Are you there? I'm crying. I'm so happy. It was really lovely. And so it means a lot to a lot of people. And Lauren is, she's done, to your point, an enormous amount of work and been very, very, very helpful in getting us to understand more of the women's game and how we would integrate it with our men's team and the like. So a lot of work in all of that, and the joy that you know, was emanating through the phone yesterday when we got up from Lauren was lovely.
What was going through your head when you finally knew that it was official?
How much work we've got ahead of us as well.
Yeah.
But what it does mean to us as a footy club in terms of progress and our ability to work with the Northern Footy League up through the Northern Corridor in particular, which is an area that the AFL have afforded us for next generation academies, but obviously we'll now do some work in more work in the area of the development of the women's game. All of those things just start to come to life, and I've got a meeting shortly with Lauren and some other people about list construction, and you were about to ask her about whether she will be on the Carlton list. This is probably easier for me to answer than Lauren, but
I'll leave that one with you, Stephen.
She looks fantastic in navy blue.
She does. She's sporting it right now.
And we would love Lauren to be playing for us. Now, there's a couple of hoops to jump through. The AFL have told us don't go and start making agreements with players yet, because there'll be some process. And that process will be that we can access two, I would think, marquee players.
Mm-hmm.
And then into a draft, but for the remaining 22 or 23 players for a list of 25. But when There's just a few little avenues for us to work through here, Lauren, because when the AFL advises that, you know, in the circumstance where people, girls are working for the footy club or have an attachment in a certain way, in constructing 8x25s, for a start, there's just going to need to be a bit of flexibility. So we'll be leaning on that flexibility to say that Lauren's been working with us for quite some time. She's a Visi ambassador. She's going to be on our coaching panel, I'm happy to say that. And so she should be playing for us as well. Is that the right pitch, do you think?
I can't see the AFL being disappointed with that. Surely not.
No.
From a personal standpoint, how would it feel for you to pull on a navy blue Guernsey and run out on the oval?
Yeah, obviously there's processes that we have to go through the AFLPA and AFL organising contracts and things, but I think the easiest answer would be touching on what I was saying before about the environment that's been created here for a women's team, and to have such heavy influence on what that looks like. I think it's a pretty simple answer, really.
And for someone, as far as I understand, you've only been playing footy since you were 17. I know you have that basketball background, but to get to the level that you got to so quickly, being named in the best group of female footballers in the country just a couple years ago, talk to me about how you got so good at footy so fast and what advice you would give to other footballers, you know, female or male, who hope to make similar strides.
Sure. I think I grew up playing basketball, so being a basketballer of a good 10 years, I think there's a lot of skills that transfer from that game. Also, it's fair to say I'm a real footy nerd and have been since I was very young. So it wasn't a situation at 17 that where I needed to learn the game. I already had a really good feel for the game. I had the skills. I had a really good understanding of the game. So it was really just having an opportunity to play the game. And that's where announcements like yesterday are so powerful, because I know as a 17-year-old, I didn't know that I could play football. And so to have that opportunity to play football as a 17-year-old, I can only imagine being 13 or 14 and seeing today's newspapers and knowing that those opportunities were there for me. So it's I was lucky in that sense. And the message I would give to any young girl or older person like myself who would like to start playing football is the time is now, and just go and do it.
Wasn't it lovely to see yesterday Andrew McKay's daughter was one of one of those dressed in the Carlton gear, and you know, she plays, and you talk about pathways, the ability for her to have now an aspiration to play for Carlton one day, potentially, it is fantastic for them, and you know,
and how special that must be too for Andrew.
Well, exactly. That's what I was going to say, is that he the sense of pride that Andrew had. I watched the clip on TV last night myself, and I could see Andrew bursting with pride as well. So it was lovely. So, you know, the whole notion about a father-son academy starts to morph very quickly into a... is it a father-offspring academy? Is it a parent... anyway, we'll, as a competition, work our way through that. Each club has its different take on it. You know, if there's a McKay who comes through and plays for Carlton as a father-daughter, say, just for now, how lovely is that?
Gosh, yeah. What else can you tell us about the draft? I know there's been a little bit of buzz about that, and at this point, pretty little information known about it, but how is that going to work?
Well, I think if people were to contemplate the national draft with all of its rigor, it's a bit like that in terms of the way that the lists will be constructed. But to be fair to the AFL, what they do want is to have a really good, even competition in the early stages, and, well, right through, but particularly in the early stages, they'll need to manage where that talent ends up. And so there'll be some flexibility within the drafting system. As I said, for example, if someone's working at a club or going to be coaching, there needs to be some flexibility. But by and large, the draft, Hayley, works just like the national draft for the men's competition, but probably with less, at least in the first instance, just a little bit more flexibility.
Gotcha.
I think what I like about the announcement yesterday was the fact that they said there would be a lottery. So to think the excitement of a draft lottery and who's going to get the first pick, and maybe if they weight the percentages like they do the NBA draft, who knows? That's going to be really exciting too.
So we'll wear our lucky socks that day so we can get number one.
Wouldn't that be great?
I've seen you in funny socks before.
No, well, yes, you have, but that
they're
was very
quite plain
rare.
Today. Yeah.
There's the plain black, but that's a little thing with some of the senior management to wear the bright socks. Mm. But every time I go to put them on, I think, no, it's not me.
All right, I'm expecting it next week. Lauren, taking you back a step to the hurdles that you had to go through, it's a lot to do in a short amount of time. Why do you think Carleton got chosen above the other teams, or what would you say about how we ended up with this license?
Oh, I look back to the first meeting I had with Stephen and Andrew McKay, and I think the first thing that really resonated with myself was how genuine the club has mm-hmm. been and will be through this process. And I think anything that you do in life, if you're genuine about it, good things will come. So I noticed that there was a genuine approach and certainly an integrated approach and a whole of club approach, and you can't beat that in this sort of environment. And as a female athlete, and you look to we consulted with clubs like Melbourne City, who've been really successful in the W League format, and what they did differently to other clubs was to integrate their team within their club. And I know the men's team supported the women's team really well, and there was a real whole of club approach, which I keep talking about, which we've found to be successful for us so far, and I really look forward to what that looks like in the future.
It's a really lovely thing to say, and I mean, I really appreciate the observation about the sincerity of it, but there are probably, Hayley, a couple of quite solid practical reasons too that we felt that we had an authentic opportunity with the bidders. So, for example, our supporters who are listening should have a clear picture in their minds that right up through the Northern Corridor, the AFL have afforded us the opportunity to work through there with multicultural academies, you know, the development of multicultural academies, and now the women's game as well. And this Northern Corridor just happens to be some of, if not the most fertile area for the women's game in the country. So that's a terrific head start for us in terms of the geography. Secondly, our ability to integrate. Thirdly, the facilities here. And in no small way, I would hope, besides the sincerity of what we've been doing in terms of trying to be leaders in equality, is the idea that there is a creation of a learning environment that Brendan brings in spades. And so the game is very much at developmental stage for the women, and our ability to grow that, I'm very confidently saying that the AFL saw and understood. And frankly, I thought all credit to the people that Lauren spoke of before, but our bid process and the quality of the bid was mm-hmm. great. So, you know, to those few out there who are a little cynical about why Carlton, well, why not? You know, we're in good shape with it.
Yeah, and we have the perfect facility with the Rebels leaving.
Absolutely.
And I think that's been missed at times in the media too. The facility is ready to go, and as soon as we paint that navy blue,
yeah,
it's going to be fantastic. And again, as a player, if there is an opportunity for me to play for Carlton, that's going to be a point of difference over many clubs.
Right, rightfully so. So next year we can expect to see these women bound by blue stepping out onto the oval, which will be quite a moment. You mentioned a lot of work to be done. What is the initial next step or two that we have to take now?
Well, the first thing is to get a list construction, 25 players on a list, mm-hmm. Nominate and get allocated marquee players, a couple of marquee players per club. And then in probably in October, it would look like, maybe into November, there's going to be a draft, and we get cracking in terms of pre-season training, competition that would run 8 or 10 weeks, depending on whether there are buys and breaks or whatever, but through late February to late March, early April, and we're away, and we'll aim to win
so
the thing.
Exciting.
if we're going to have one, we might as well aim to win it.
Absolutely.
With a grand final potentially being played before one of the round one men's fixtures.
Wow.
And when I saw that yesterday, we won't count our chickens here, but just if the AFL were to give us the privilege of opening the season again versus Richmond, you'd like to think that the opening women's game before that in front of 80,000 people would be a good look. But
wow.
We'll see.
Cold shivers.
Gosh, yeah, how exciting.
Amazing.
Anything else that either one of you would like to say? Any secrets you can reveal for Carlton female footy fans already amped up for next year?
No, we've got a coach, but we can't go down the path yet of reveal, because there's a little sensitivity about that person and their work. And indeed, I think the AFL just want to do it in an orderly fashion. But we're well organised in terms of coaching, the resources that were put to it from within, and indeed our whole coaching structure. So we're ready to go. We just need some of the, you know, a little more detail from the AFL in some certain areas, and then we'll let our supporters know as time goes by as to what it all looks like.
Can, go ahead.
Oh, the only other thing I would say is, from a playing perspective, again, there's a huge number of female Victorian players really excited that Carlton have achieved a licence, and that's exciting. And also, I'd just like to say personally, what I've seen, particularly through social media and the support from the fans and the members from Carlton, has just been incredible. So just a thank you from me too.
Congratulations to you both and to the team.
Thanks, Hayley.
Obviously very groundbreaking, and surely to inspire a lot of young girls to hopefully play out on the big stage one day and be part of something really great.
Hayley Brownlow Winslow. That's low. I love it. So it's just, so there's a coincidence, yeah. So Brownlow, you didn't make up that middle name.
I didn't make it up. No, so, I think I'm destined to work for
Deed Pole since she moved to Australia.
Yeah, exactly. I was telling the guys last week I was a little embarrassed about it growing up. It was an English family middle name, and now I couldn't be prouder.
Exactly, right at home here. Well, it's perfect for this segment. Thank you for all of this. And it does raise an interesting question. One thing I haven't seen is about a best player in the competition sort of concept. And, you know, there's been a lot of things to think about. That's just another one for the AFL to get their head around it. The Hayley Brownlow Winslow medal. I'm not sure.
I think you would deserve it way, way before me, Lauren.
Oh, the red carpet would be interesting, I know that.
Yeah.
Very good.
I'll interview you.
Thanks.
Thank you. And thanks to all the listeners out there, to all the Carlton Blues supporters for listening to Brownlow's Blues. This crazy American with the appropriate middle name's take on an incredible sport. Hoping to bring you a behind-the-scenes look at what goes on here and just the people who make up this wonderful club. And if you'd like to hear about something in particular, please feel free to shoot me an email. My email address is haley.winslow@carltonfc.com.au. That's haley.winslow@carltonfc.com.au. That's a mouthful. Live from Icon Park, thank you guys both for being with me. Haley Brownlow Winslow, let's go Navy Blues. We'll be right back.